We're on Daf Pei Amid Beis, and we're up to Nitosvu Aleihem Mosif Umezake, which is right below Tosfos Divrei Maaskil Ela. And the mission is established that if new people move into the neighborhood sharing that chatzer or that mavui, then if, let's call him Reuven, you know, just one of the members of the chatzer, he decides to offer his own mazon shtei sudos on behalf of this new resident that joined us, then he has to be modia them. If it's a case of miut, which means that these are the old-time residents and neighbors in that mavui or that chatzer, and the amount of mazon that they need for the Eruv has gone down, it diminished with time, then they've already indicated in their past record that they're interested in the Eruv. So therefore, you could be mezakeh the Eruv, and you know that they're on board. They give what we call tacit approval. But if, on the other hand, you have new residents that moved into the neighborhood, they've never been part of the Erev to begin with, then the Mishnah says, Tzarech lohudiyim, that we have to notify them and make sure that they're on board with joining in the Erev. So now we're up to Omer Rav Shizbi, which is right above Tosfos Divrei Maaskil Agav, about two lines above that. It says, Omer Rav Shizbi, Omer Rav Chizda, Zoso Meres, let's derive from our Mishnah that if he's collecting from not only the old-time residents, but also from the new residents that were not there when they initially established the Erev, that he has to notify them. So Chalukim Olav Chaverov Al Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we don't know about this Rabbi Yehuda officially, because Rabbi Yehuda is going to be quoted in the next Mishnah. And Rabbi Yehuda, in his opinion quoted in the next Mishnah, holds that even for the first time Eruv, Ein Tzarech Lodia, we don't have to notify them. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda takes the principle of Zachar the Adam Shelo Bifanov to its logical end conclusion, that since the Erev is a good thing, and everyone's going to benefit from the Erev, allowing them to carry from their homes into the Chatz, from the Chatz into the Mavui, therefore, they have a tacit agreement, even if they've never been part, even if we're talking about the first Erev. Our mission, on the other hand, not the mission of Rabbi Yehuda, will prohibit, or shall we say, invalidate such an Eruv without being modia them in the case of new residents, because they've never signed on the dotted line, they've never indicated their approval to the Eruv. Rabbi Yehuda says, even on the very first Eruv, we can, so to speak, sign them on without their approval. So our Mishnah is against Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara doesn't know why I needed Rav Shizbi to tell me that. I mean, that's black and white. That's obvious. But let's read it inside. Disnan, Om Rabbi Yehuda v'medvar mamurim. When do we need the approval of the person for whom, on his behalf, we are setting up the Eruv? Right, so you have Reuven who's setting up the Eruv on behalf of Shimon. Says Rabbi Yehuda, we only need Shimon's approval in the case of Erev Tchumen. Now, of course, Erev Tchumen always has a downside to it, because let's say I set up your Tchum on your behalf, I think I'm a big shot, and my guess is that you're going to want to go towards the east, and instead you decide you want to go to the west. I've messed you up with this Erev, because this Erev is now going to limit your Tchum to the east. You know, what you gained on this side, you lost on this side.
So says Rabbi Yehuda, that's the Erev which requires Yediyah. You know, I can't do it on your behalf without your approval.
V'medvam would be Eruv Etchumen.
Right, we're not sure that he wants to, it's in his behalf to be Konesh Vis on that side. So he's now going to lose the other side, outside the city. We must have, it's critical to have his Yediyah, his approval.
Avol be Erev Chatzeros.
What do you lose by an Erev Chatzeros? It's a win-win situation. It allows the Bnei HaChatzer to carry from their house out into the Chatzer. There's nothing lost. It's a pure 100% gain. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'arvin bein ladas bein shalolidas.
I can even use your mamon, your mazon, to set up an Eruv, because you'll gain from it. There's no element of loss in Zach the Old Shalabafana.
And therefore, we can apply the principle of Rabbi Yehuda even to the case of brand new residents who aren't part of the original Erev and now joined to the neighborhood. They moved in. So the Gemara says, Pshita de Chalukim. Why do I need Rav Shizbi to tell me that our mission is against Rabbi Yehuda? I couldn't have thought otherwise.
Mal de Tame, the Gemara says, if not for Rav Shizbi,
I would have reconciled our Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda. And our Mishnah would hold that in the case of Erev Chatzeros, we don't have to notify them. We don't need their approval.
The Mishnah says, Tzorach La'adiyo.
Hani Mili, that's a very unique case. And that's a case of a Chatzer Shebein Shtei Muvos. In other words, you have a Chatzer that opens up into a Mavi on this side, and it has an exit or an entrance into a mavui on the other side. We don't know, there's no way we could predict which mavui this person wants to be part of the sheet of Muvos, I'm concerned. Which mavui, maybe he's going to decide that he wants to use this mavui and he doesn't have any interest in using the other mavui. So you want to set up a sheet of Muvos on his behalf on this mavui on the western side. He has no interest in, or no plan whatsoever on his mind that he's going to go out to the western mavui.
Avol chatzer shel mavui echad,
if there's only one mavui,
emo lo,
I might think in such a case, our Mishnah, the Tan of our Mishnah would agree to Rabbi Yehuda's position that eno tzarch lo dia, because it's a pure win-win situation because there's only one mavui that he could go through.
Kamash malon, that's where Rav Shizbi wants to tell us, no.
What he heard from his Rebbe, Rav Chisda, is that our Mishnah is talking about a chotzer, which is open up to one mavui, and nevertheless, our Mishnah holds that you need to be modiah him, which is against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that the need for be modiah is only in the case where there's a downside, like Erev Tchumen, but in Erev Chatzeros, where there's a plus sign, you don't have to be modiah him. So, for example, if there's one mavui, so we know that by introducing this resident into the Shituf Mavos, we're allowing him to carry into that one single Mavui that his Chatzah lead spills into.
Comes along the Chacham and say, even in that case, we're not going to apply the principle of Eino Tzarech Lo Dio, we're going to insist on Tzarech Lo Dio.
Zatam. So why is it that the Rabbanan say Tzarech Lo Dio in this case? I mean, after all, there's only one Mavui. It's a win-win situation.
So Rashi says, Tzrichim ono leida she'eno makbid ala mazon she'not limimenu.
The issue here is that you're taking his mazon, Shimon's mazon, for the sake of the Shituf Muvos. And you're assuming lo ichpas lo, la se so, l'chol b'nei ha-mavui. As a result of the sheet of Muvos, as we've mentioned many times, any one of the b'nei Muvos are allowed to have access and enjoy the benefit of this mazon. So therefore the possibility is that hikvid ale ruvo.
Again, although he benefits because now he can carry from the schotzer out to the mavui, but maybe he doesn't want to pay the price for that. For whatever reason, either because he's a very poor guy or very stingy. He doesn't want to spend on this sheet of Muvos, or maybe he has no intention on that Shabbos to
enjoy the benefits of the sheet of muvos. He has no intention to carry out into the mavui. Bottom line is, you're taking money out of his pocket, and you're declaring, well, he wants this mavui, because it's a win-win situation. He's gaining by the mavui. There's only one mavui. No. You can't take something out of someone's pocket. And therefore, the Chachamim hold that even in the case of one chatzah with one mavui, we need his yediyah. And in a certain sense, I mean, you could say, I mean, this would be superficial and mechanical, but to say that according to Chacham, we equate Erev Chatzeres with Erev Tchumen, whereas Rabbi Yehuda's argument is very powerful, very cogent. You know, in the case of Erev Tchumen, how do you know he wants to go to the Mizrach? Maybe he wants to go to the Meirav or vice versa. And you're really taking away his Shvisa. You're cutting down the 2,000 amma that he could go to the Mizrach. But in Erev Chatzeros, it's a win-win situation. Come along, Chacham, say, no, what do you mean win-win situation? You're taking from his mazon for the sake of the Shituf Mavos. We don't have a right legally to put a hand into his pocket and take out his mama. Maybe he doesn't want this benefit of a mavo. Maybe he's not willing to pay the price for that benefit. To take his mazon shtei sudos, a significant amount of mazon, and allow the entire Bnei Achatzah, the whole crew, to allow and benefit from his mazon. Now the Mishnah says, Kama hushi uro, what's the shiur for shituf, to set up a shituf muvos? And the Mishnah says the following. There's a difference between bizman shehem merubim and bizman shehem mu'otim. If they're merubin, then mazon shtei sudos is enough for everyone. If they're mu'otim, then the Mishnah establishes we need a grogeres l'chol echad v'echad. So now the Gemara wants to know who's merubin and who's mu'otim. Kama hu merubim, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Shmona Esrei Bnei Adam. If you have 18 people living in that chotzer, that's already considered merubin. And therefore we have mazon shtei sudos, and that's sufficient for the entire, as we called it, the crew. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Shmona Esrei v'su lo, only if you hit punkt exactly that number 18. And what if there are 20 people? What if there are 30 people? How much more so in those cases should we set up this objective mazon shtei sudos? So the Gemara says, Emo, you have to rewrite the text of Shmuel. Mishmo nasrei v'eluch, from 18 and on. In other words, once you hit the number 18, then you have what's called merubin. So the Gemara says, "Umayshmo nasrei dinokat." Where did you come up with this number 18? Again, I understand if you're vying or auctioning off an aliyah, so 18 is convenient chai. But what does that have to do with the question of mazon shtei sudos for an eruv? Amar Rav Yitzchak bereid Rav Yehuda l'didi mefarshin olam minei. The Abba, I'm going to explain my father's statement, because Rabbi Yitzchak is the son of Rabbi Yehuda, and I heard from my father exactly what he had in mind. Our mission is coming to be Mekil, to establish that in certain cases you don't need Grogeres L'chol Echad V'Echad, all you need is Mazon Shtei Sudos. Kol she'ilu mechalko le'mazon shtei sudos beinam v'yena magas grogeres chol echad v'echad. When do we require that each one of the bnei achatz have to contribute a grogeres to the eruv? That's a case where if you took the shtei mazon shtei sudos and you divide it up amongst the residents, you would have less than the minimum shear of Grogeres L'chol Echad V'Echad. So in such a case, if each one of the individuals would give a grogeres for his eruv, then you'd have more than mazon shtei sudos. Is hein hein merubin? That's what the Mishnah meant by merubin, meaning that you could only reach that level, that minimum bingo level of shtei sudos, if each one of the members of the Mavui would contribute his own grogeres. Because if you're going to just set it up as mazon shtei sudos, we're going to divide it up into 18 people who are enjoying the benefit of that shituv pa'ula, shituv mavos, and they're going to get less than a grogeres worth. But if, on the other hand, hey merubim, so that what? So that you have so many people that mazon shtei sudos would not suffice to guarantee a grogeres worth for each one of the members of this mavui, then sagi v'mazon shtei sudos. Our Mishnah is coming to be mekil and saying that once you have such a large group that you guarantee that even if each one would give a grogeres, that not even though, but I mean, since each one would be, by contributing a grogeres, you'll have more than mazon shtei sudos, that's called merubin. Ve'ilo, okay, this will clarify it. We discussed this in the past, I believe. If you have a smaller amount of people, you don't have enough people, such that if you divide up the mazon shtei sudos, every person would get less than a grogeres. In such a case, that's called hein hein mu'atim ninhu. That what we need by mu'atim is im yesham grogeres chol echad, you'd still get less than mazon shtei sudos. That's called mu'atim. And therefore, we need to grow geres l'chol echad. So this, again, just to summarize, is the kula of our Mishnah, that if you have merubin, and it means that if each person would contribute his grogeres, you would end up with more than mazon shtei sudos, then we drop the whole requirement of collecting and contributing a grogeres from each one of them. We're just going to rely on mazon shtei sudos. But if, on the other hand, you're left with a number of people that even if each one contributed a grogeres, you would still fall shy of mazon shtei sudos, in that case, we need a grogeres from each one of them. And Rabbi Yehuda, who says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, that merubin means 18 people, he didn't say that merubin is the amount of people that if you would divide up the mazon of shtei sudos, they wouldn't be able to get a grogeres worth each one, is agav urche kamashman de shtei sudos havyon. When Shmuel came to interpret our Mishnah and he said derech agav, he wanted to teach us that this cheshbin of shmonasrei bnei adam is shtei sudos havyon, that the shear of 18 grogros is equivalent to shtei sudos. Now let me just read to you a line over here before we start the second Mishnah. He says the following. If you divided the mazon shtei sudos and each person's portion would not reach the size of a dried fig, then they are considered merubin. So you follow, we're dividing up the shtei sudos, and not every person will get a grogeres, because Muslim shtei sudos cannot cover this entire large group. And the Mishnah is teaching us that since the residents are so numerous, that if each contributed a dried fig, the total would exceed the size of two meals, then all you need is to collect two meals, even though each individual is contributing less than a dried fig. The lav, and if there are not so many participants, so that the Muslim shtei sudos, if divided up, would guarantee that each particular dayar, each resident, would get more than the size of a dried fig, then mu'atim ninu, they considered few, and is sufficient for each person to contribute only the equivalent of a dried fig, because there aren't so many participants, and the Muslim shtei sudos would exceed beyond the per capita of the size of a dried fig. And incidentally, Rabbi Yehuda informs us in the name of Shmuel that two meals equal the volume of 18 dried figs. Just give me a second here. Oh. He says, Rav Yehuda explains that the Mishnah teaches a leniency that if the residents are numerous, so that their individual contributions total more than the equivalent of two meals, then all you need, it suffices to have Mozen Shtei Sudas. If they are few, so that their individual contributions would not total Mozen Shtei Sudos, then let each and every one of them contribute just simply the size of a grogeris of a dried fig. Now, in the footnote here, he tells us about a machlokes he says, amongst the authorities, how much just 1 second. The amount of 18 dried figs, how is that equivalent to Mazon Shtei Sudos? So one opinion maintains that food for two meals is equivalent to the volume of 6 eggs, while others contend that 8 eggs is the correct figure. Both views are cited in Or HaChaim. But the Mishnah Berurah advises to conform with the more strict view. But b'dieved, the volume of 6 eggs can be relied upon. Okay, so this has to do with the shear of 18 dried figs, or which is equivalent, the Gemara says, to the Mazon of Shtei Sudos, where the 6 beitzim or 8 beitzim are required. I'm not sure why the Mishnah Berurah has to paskin l'chumra, l'chatchila, because we always say, Alochi kedibri ha-mekel be'erivin. But l'chatchila, at least he's going to require the shear of 8 beitzim for Mazon Shtei Sudos. The Mishnah says, Bakol ma'arvim u'mishtatvim. Any foodstuff can be used for an Eruv or a Shituf. And we've already discussed that in Eruv Tchumen you need a pass. In Eruv Chatzeros or Eruv or Shituf Mavos, a pas would only be sufficient if it was large enough for mazon shtei sudos, and as if it would have the shear of six beitzim. However, the Mishnah excludes two foodstuffs, and that's mayim and melach, because these are not mazon, they don't really add much to the goof. And all this is divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, but Rabbi Yeshua Omer kikar hu eruv. Kikar means you need what's called a shlema. Afilu mafei sa'ah. The prusa ein ma'arvim bo. You can have a bread that's baked from a massive amount of flour, and nevertheless, if it's cut, if it's sliced and it's not whole, you cannot use it as an eruv. Kikar ki'isar v'usholei ma'arvim bo. So isar is a small silver coin, and if you have a loaf of bread that's the size of a small silver coin, but it's whole, then you can use it for an eruv. So the smallest loaf can be used. Now here he adds in the footnote of Mishnah Berurah that we have to add a proviso here, enough of them contributed to meet the minimum requirement as we mentioned it in the previous Mishnah. So, for example, if the total number of participants is less than 18, the Erev must contain enough of these small loaves to equal a dried fig for each resident. And here we're going to turn to Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara asks, Tnina Chada Zimna. We have already a Mishnah. On Daf Chavav Amud Beis. And the Mishnah speaks about the laws of Erev Tchumen. So why would we think that there's a difference between Erev Tchumen and Erev Chatzeros, or Shituf Muvos? We already have the Mishnah that tells me that you can use any foodstuff for an Erev Tchumen, with the exception of Mayim and Melach. So why do we have to have it again here in Erev Chatzeros? Amar Rabba Lafuke Midrab Yeshua. The Omar Kikar in Midiachrini Lo. According to Rabbi Yeshua, only bread can be used and is viable for an Erev Chatzeros. And our mission is coming lafuke to exclude Rabbi Yeshua and to teach us komash v'lam bakol, that you could set up an eruv with everything, all different types of foodstuffs. Had the Mishnah not repeated this here, we would have thought that akol ma'arvim, back in the Mishnah on Chavav Amid Beis, that's only with regard to an Erev Tchumen. And Rabbi Yeshua would agree that in the case of Erev Tchumen, you don't need anything specific, meaning you don't need Dafka or Pas. But in the case of Erev Chatzeros, everybody would agree to Rabbi Yeshua that you need a Pas. And that has to do with the sugya later on that we'll get to Eva. Now he says, V'ata sha'omer Rabbi Eliezer din ze kan b'samach l'divrei Rabbi Yoshua anu l'meidim shu cholek olav v'sover sha'af b'eruv chatzeros ma'arvin b'chol davar. And he wants to teach us that even in an eruv chatzeros, you can use anything. So let's go back to Amar Rava one more time. Out Mishnah is coming lafuke mid Rabbi Yoshua. The Amar Kikar in midiachrini lo. So here Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that he rejects and we reject Rabbi Yoshua. We don't require dafka a pas, a kikar. Any food will do. Is called mashmon bakol, that you can make an eruv with everything. If the Mishnah had not repeated here this din, we would have said that bakol ma'arvin back on daf chav vav amid beis is only with regard to eruv tchumen. In eruv tchumen, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees; he consents that you don't need to be ma'arv dafka in a pas, because there's no element of Eva in the case of Erev Tchumen, as the Gemara is going to explain soon. But in the case of Erev Chatzeros, maybe everybody would agree with Rabbi Yoshua that Ein Ma'arvin El B'pas. Now we need Rabbi Eliezer here and our Mishnah to tell us that, and he tells us in the context of Rabbi Yoshua, that he disagrees. And even in the case of Erev Chatzeros, Ma'arvin B'kol. And again, as to the reason why Rabbi Yeshua requires dafka kikar in Erev Chatzeros, that's the sugya we're coming up to very soon of Eva. Eisvei Abaye now is a kash on Rabba, and he says that it's not clear that Rabbi Eliezer actually disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua. How do you derive from the words of Rabbi Eliezer that he disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua, and he holds that even in Erev Chatzeros, you can use anything and you don't need a kikar? We have a brisa that says, Bakol mi arvin eruve chatzeros, ubakol mishtatvim shitufe mivos. In other words, we can use for Erev Chatzeros or shituf mivos, pas, yayin, peros, everything. V'lo amru li arev b'pas ela b'chotzer bilvad. Now, what we're saying here is that for Erev Chatzeros, you can use pas, yayin, or shar peros. So what does the brisa mean when it says that the requirement of pas applies to Erev Chatzeros? I mean, you're limiting Erev Chatzeros to a pas when you opened up by saying Hakol Ma'arvim, Bakol Ma'arvim, and you're talking explicitly about Erev Chatzeros. So this price is difficult. And man shamet leiti omar pas in midiachrini lo Rabbi Yeshua hi. Right? The brisa that in the sefer the brisa requires dafka pas for Erev Chatzeros, that reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. Uketani. And yet the brisa opens up by saying bakol ma'arvim. And we're not limited to kikar. So we have to therefore interpret that when the Brice says Bakol Ma'arvim Erev Chatzeros, it means Bakol Ma'arvim Bechol Mine Pas. Different types of pas. You could have a pas that's made from Dagon, you could have, Kusmin, and you could have Siorin, and Chita. You could have any kind of Min Dagon. And Rabbi Yeshua, who says that you need a pas Shlema, you know, it's our Mishnah, even our Mishnah, we should say, or we could say, based on this brisa, It's not coming to tell you that you can use anything like peros or yayin or whatever for an erev chatzeros. It's only coming to tell you that you can use any type of a pas. And it's not talking about erev tchumen. It's only talking about erev chatzeros. So that the Mishnah and the Braisa should be interpreted that all types of pas are valid candidates for Erev Chatzeros. Now, as far as Sheet of Muvos is concerned, then you could use any substance, including a barrel of wine, or you can use peros. So it comes out that according to Abaye, in Erev Chatzeros, we definitely need pas. And that could be even according to Rabbi Eliezer. We might allow for different minim, but you need a pas. So now we go back to the original question, what is our Mishnah teaching me? Because until now, based on Rabbah, we assume that our Mishnah was teaching us that according to Rabbi Eliezer against Rabbi Yeshua, you could be Ma'arev and Erev Chatzeros on with any substance. It doesn't require a pas. That's no longer true according to Abaye. So now we have to come up with a different interpretation of what the Chiddush of our Mishnah is. El Amar Rabba Bar Bachana. If we're going to say that our Mishnah again repeats that which we saw in the Mishnah back on Chavav of Bakol Marav Mishtatvim, and it's coming Lafuki Rabbi Yeshua, is Lafuki to Rabbi Yeshua the Amar Shlema in Prusa Lo. We're going back to the end of Rabbi Yeshua's statement, in which he's recorded as saying that you need a pas Shlema for an Eruv, but a pas Prusa that's cut up, it's sliced, is not valid for an Eruv. Is Kamashbalan, our mission in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, is coming to teach us no, Bakol Ma'arvim, even if it's a pas Prusa, we definitely need a pas for the Eruv, but it could even be a sliced pas. Now we get back to the basic question, why Rabbi Yeshua requires Dafka Pas Shlema? Uprusa Maitaima Lo. Why does Rabbi Yossi exclude a Pas Prusa for an Eruv? And the Gemara answers on Rabbi Yossi, Ben Shol, Omer Rebbe, Mishum Eva. That if they could use a sliced piece of bread for an Eruv, and one is going to bring and contribute a Pashlema, the other is going to bring a Pasprusa, that's going to create Machlokas. That's going to create a certain amount of friction and enmity. You know, the one who gave the Pashlema, he's going to say, well, why is this guy giving only a Prusa? Omale Rav Acha, Bray the Ravala Rav Ashi, Rav Acha asks the son of Rava the following question. I'm sorry, Rav Acha, the son of Rava asks Rav Ashi the following question. Erevu kulam beprusos. What if all the Bnei Achotzer agree that each one is going to contribute prusos? There's not going to be any Eva. They're all uniform. Mahu, is that an accepted, valid Erev? Amalei, shemayachse dover lekil kulo. Rav Ashi says that even in this case, the Erev is invalid because we're always afraid that they'll get used to bringing or contributing a pas prusa. And even in a case where one person will bring a pas shlema, and the rest of the people, because they're used to bringing a pas prusa, will bring a pas prusa, is that's going to generate eva. He says, mitoch sheyugalu li arev beprusa yavo litein prusa gam kishechelik midimei achotzer, or even one of the bnei achotzer, is yitein or yitnu pas shlema yavo likach. That's going to create friction and tension. Therefore, they made a blanket, absolute requirement of not being ma'ariv with a prusa. Now the Rosh and the Tur following the Rosh say that this din, Eino elik shekulam nosim ischelkom bi'eruv. But what happens if one person is ma'ariv on behalf of the others, u'mezake lehem chelik bepas, then he could do so with a prusa. Notice we're not excluding a prusa from all eruv. There's no hafka. It's not the, you know, it's not, it becomes macholas asuras. But kevink she'echad ma'ariv lekulam lo shayach eva, b'ofen zeh lo omru chacham she'ef sheliyarev beprusa. And in that case, an Erev Chatzeros becomes identical with an Erev Tchumen, and there's no room for Eva. And just like there's no room for Eva in an Erev Tchumen, there's no room for Eva in this case where one is Mezakeh es Kulam. Now, the Yerushalmi says that Ikar Takonis Erev Hoysel Harbo Sholom Bein Bnei Achotzer. It's meant to join them and unify them, not to create friction and tension. And mishum kach, therefore, tiknu shal yuchal la'ariv bedavar sheyuchlu lov alidei machlokas, like a prusa. The Maril says that the reason why they were choshish for Eva, is mitoch sheyira shehu nosin shleim v'cherim nosin prusa yakvid al eruvo v'lo yel noach lo Shiit luhu b'nei hamavui. Right? In other words, if you're only giving a prusa and I'm giving a shlema, I don't want you to take from my shlema. And amakvid al eruv or ein eruv eruv, that was a gemara that we had back on daf mem tes. The Tiferes Yisrael says that ha-hefresh b'chashivus sheyesh bein pas shlema lebein pas prusa hu gadol yoser me'ahevdil bein pas gedol or pas ktano, umishum hachi lo chashashu li eva rak im echad yitain prusa v'echad yitain shlema, but lo chashashu li eva im echad yitain gedol v'echad yitain ktano. Wow, the discrepancy between a shlema and a prusa is even greater than between a smaller bread or kikar and a larger kikar. So that there's no exclusion in the case of Erev Chatzeros if one person brings a larger one, a smaller. When there's Eva, that's when one brings a shlema and the other brings a prusa. Let's just see if we could review this last point of the Tiferes Yisrael. And we said that the difference between a prusa and a gedola is that great, even greater than the difference between a gedola and a ketana. And the Ritva writes that according to Rabbi Yoshua, they were choshesh, and they wanted to prohibit an eruv of a prusa, kedesh lo yovel lidei eruv lidei eva b'chotzer. But b'mavui, the Ritva says, lo choshesh yovel lidei eva. The Maril, on the other hand, writes that even in shituf muvos, ein mishtatfim b'prusa. And the Bir Halacha writes, then in a mavui, since they said that you could be ma'ariv b'chol davar, and you're not limited to a kikar, therefore lo amru shetzorch dafka pas shlema, because they never required pas specifically. The Rashba quotes Yesh Mefarshim that if you could be ma'ariv with anything, then certainly you could be ma'ariv with a prusa. But the Rashba rejects this, and he says that even if you could be ma'ariv with anything, we still would maintain that whatever it is that you use for the Erev, you should use the Dover Sholem because of Eva. The Ritva says that there are some who interpret that Rabbi Yeshua, even in Sheet of Muvos, in Mishtatvim V'Pas, then you have to contribute a Pas Shlem. The Rosh and the Tur we mentioned earlier, and that is just to review that each one is contributing his chelik to an Erev, but if one person is setting up the Erev on behalf of all the Bnei Chotzer, that's a whole different story, and then we don't have to worry about Eva. You could use even a Prusa. Now, let's see if we can mention here an insight of the Karnei Re'em. He says that even when Abai asked his kasha to Rabba that even the Braisa holds like Rabbi Yeshua, who says Bakol Ma'arvim, and the Braisa says Bakol Ma'arvim. So Abai proves from that that you could say that the language Bakol, even if it's Eino Kolel Kolmine Pas Shlema, any type of a pas, nevertheless, he didn't say that only to prove against Rabba, that according to Rabba, he says that Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can be Ma'ar B'chol Dover, and the Braisa therefore certainly is Rabbi Yeshua, who B'chol, which the Braisa says includes only Kol Mine Pashlema. But Rabbi Baruch Hanna said that since we don't have a raya from that which Rabbi Eliezer says Mikol Ma'arvin, that he holds a Ma'arvin off for Shalom B'pas, even other foodstuffs like wine and fruits, then we could say that the Tana, the Braisa, is actually Rabbi Eliezer, and he also holds that Ein Ma'arvin El B'pas, and Mikol Ma'arvin means all types of pas, whether it be Shlema Prusa. And we should interpret that the Lashon of Bakol encompasses as many things as possible. So therefore we should say that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua, and he holds that you don't need a Pas Shlema. And mentioning here the Ritva, that even though the Mishnah includes in Erev Chatzeros also Shituf Mavos, when it says Bakol Ma'arav Mishtatvim, with regard to Shituf Mavos, certainly when it says in the Mishnah Bakol, it means Bechol Dover. And that's not a kasha. If, with regard to Erev Chatzeros, we interpret that Bechol means Kol Mini Pas, and Legabi Kol Dover, Nitan Lefarish, Sheba Mishnah Rabo says Masha Shayach Bo. And that's understandable. Now, when we said before that a Pas Asuya Bechol Mine Dogon, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we need that it be a Pashlema, and we should interpret the question in the Gemara based on the Girsa that we have, which is the Girsa of Rashi. The Tosa Rosh says that if the Gemara doesn't bring the Braisa, other than to be Mochiach the Lashon Bakol, it's not coming to be Mar Bakol Dover, why does the Gemara need to be Mochiach that the Tana of Abraisa is Rabbi Yeshua? Even if the Tana would be someone else, we could still prove from the Braisa that the word Bakol is not coming to include everything. It's only coming to include Kol Mine Pas. And that's pretty clear from the Braisa. The Braisa afterwards says that Ein Ma'arvin B'chatzeros Ela B'pas. And the Kasha was based on the Girsa of Tosfos, which would be a slightly different girsa. So the kasha here is, even if there's no proof here that the Tana of the Braisa is Rabbi Yeshua, because we could say the Tana is Rabbi Meir, he holds later on in Daf, I mean earlier on Daf Ayin Aleph, that Ein Ma'arvin El B'pas. So it doesn't have to be Rabbi Yeshua, it could also be Rabbi Meir. So let's just see where we got up to. Rabbi Yeshua, Rashi says, is moda that in Erev Tchumen you can be Ma'ar B'chol Dover. And that which Rabbi Yeshua says that you need to be Ma'ar Dafka B'pas, that's only as far as Erev Chatzeres is concerned, where each one of the Bnei HaChatzer is contributing his chelik in the Erev and the Zechshash of Eva. And the Marsha asks, if the reasoning of Eva mentioned in the Gemara is only regarding what Rabbi Yeshua said, that Eima Arvin Beprusa, then we should be choshesh that if we give different chalokim in the Bnei HaChatzer, one gives a shlema, one gives a prusa, the one who gives a shlema will have Eva on those who give a prusa. But as far as what Rabbi Yeshua said, that Eima Arvin El Bepas, but not Besharadvarim, what is the Sheiches of Eva to the fact that you're using a Pas and you're excluding peros or yayin. He says tzarich lomar shemash kosef kan Rashi Rabbi Yeshua mode b'eruvei tchumin mishum shel shayach eva hainu limaskana. Lamaskana says Gemara she'af Rabbi Eliezer mode shein ma'arvin el bepas uba Rabbi Yeshua lomar she'ein ma'arvin beprusa. V'lo amar din zel b'chatzeros v'lo b'tchum mishum b'tchumin lo shayach eva. V'atam shemod Rabbi Yeshua be'eruv v'tchumim that you don't need a pas because only an erev chatzeros when you need lichoshev diroso v'mokum she'eruv v'sham diros shel adam einu nimsheches mokum acher elo al yedei pas v'lo yedei dover acher. That's as far as diroso shel adam is concerned. Al be'eruv v'tchumim ein tzarch l'kvo diroso sham Kimok vias dira shitzorach be erev chatzeros, elarakshi choshev kilu shavas memokum sheerev sham. It's only in order to be kona shvisa, viochel likno shvisa mokum sheeshlo mozon, gam im eno pas. The Rashash, on the other hand, says that yochel likno shvisa mokum sheeshlo mozon, gam im ein, he says, Af bedin shetzorch le'ariv bepas v'lo b'shar dvorim shayach tam shel eva shem yuchu l'ariv b'chol dover gam kein tia le'eva against the marsha because I gave basar and you're giving dogim and that itself could contribute and generate eva v'yesh lomar shlo omar kein Rabbi Yeshua le'eriv chatzeros v'lo be'eriv tchumen. And that logic applies only to Erev Chatzeros, not in Erev Tchumen. So that's the Rashash. Okay, then, so let's just make a note that we're going to stop here on Daf Pei Aleph, Amen Aleph, Amen Rabbi Yochanan Ben Shaul.